Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple, and Donna Colby's here, and Alan Cobb. We're the hosts, and we have Danielle Scheer here with us this afternoon, this morning, I guess we are.
Again.
And, yes.
You heard her in a previous show. About her her show that she has at the Teeple Hansen Gallery through May 19th. But today we want to talk about her earlier work, maybe way earlier work. This is my favorite question.
I'm sorry, I jumped right in, because this is what she always likes to get into.
Because this is, I'm very curious about people's beginnings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people come to art later in life and suddenly it's like a rebirth, but other people, you know, the earliest thing they didn't even remember when they were 2 years old, mm-hmm. doing some drawing. So what's the earliest you can remember when you wanted to make art?
When I was 10, 11, 12, I used to make up stories with my neighbor and then we would make drawings of them and then act them out. And that's the first time I remember we really getting into drawing a lot with her.
You were a multimedia artist.
I was then.
I love those layers. So you told stories, you did drawings, then you performed them. So
in our backyard up in the tree. Mm-hmm. But and then I studied art, you know, in high school. I didn't study art in high school, but that was my favorite subject. And college. I took night classes at McGill. My first son was just a baby, I read the book Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, and I started drawing. I had some sets of colored pencils which my husband had received when he photographed some for a colored pencil company, Prismacolor, I think it was. So I started drawing with those. That's how I started doing colored pencils. Mm. And Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain was a really good book for me because it pointed out what it felt like to be in the zone, and what she calls, you know, using the right brain. And after that, I just drew on and off during the years, depending how busy I was with the kids. In the late 80s, I started drawing more regularly. The kids were in school, and I was starting to do portraits of my friends in the early 90s, and I did some North American Indian shields for Angel Graphics. And that got me started. Then Ron Bovard saw my work, and he hired me as a stained glass painter for Bovard Studios. And I started painting on glass, landscapes, figures, and biblical scenes. And did that for 5 years. And I didn't do much work at home. I was doing mostly colored pencil at that time, besides the stained glass. Colored pencil takes a long time to do. It would take me a month to do 16 by 20 piece. Mm. So I was a little frustrated with that aspect of colored pencil. So when I stopped working at Bovard's, a couple of years after, I started going to Bill Teeple's class. And I brought a box of pastels that I had with me for years and years and years that I'd inherited from somebody, I don't even remember who. And I would look at those pastels and think, oh, I wish I knew how to use those. Mm. And I'd try and use them a little bit, mix them with colored pencil, and I really didn't know what I was doing. So I went into Bill's class, and Bill said, okay, show me what you can do with these. So I did a landscape based on a photograph that I had taken, and it was really awful. So Bill pointed out a few things. And
I didn't say they were really awful.
Oh, you certainly did not. But I knew it was pretty bad. I had enough of an eye.
But we started to analyze the elements.
Yes.
I remember it pretty well.
Yes.
Because you were a good example of someone who got it immediately. You got what conveys all the information. It's not the detail. It's the visual elements, the light and dark, and the intensity.
Well, not in that first one.
No, the first one was a good learning place to take off from.
He's being diplomatic.
always diplomatic.
Because you had the forms right, but it was
sort
the things that convey, that carry the story.
I didn't have the light and dark.
That you didn't, but you got it immediately when I started.
Oh,
to
when
show
you started telling me.
I was
me,
starting
yes.
to show you what wasn't working, because it's the getting the light and dark, and the intensities, the gray tones versus the. This highly
right.
saturated tones, all of that is what carries the story,
mm-hmm.
not the perfect forms and the detail. And you got it and started
yeah,
to
over
run
time
with the ball.
I did, yeah. But I was very impressed with how much you helped me that first class, because you just pointed out some things, you know, in the photograph, in my painting. And then through that guidance, I was able to develop over the years. I still go to his class once a week.
Well, see, that's the beauty, I think, of being a really, not really diligent, not just sincere, but someone who's making art because there's something in you that's drawing you to do it, you know,
right.
like you have to do it.
I do have to do
and
it.
And not driven either. Not, well, that's like a word that I don't like. It's more that you're just in love with it and mm-hmm. it just, you have to do, and
it calms that, me down for one thing.
Yeah, and that gives you patience because mm-hmm. like you were talking about, took you a while to really feel like you learned these things then and were satisfied with the results. And that's a beautiful and necessary part of being a genuine artist, mm-hmm. Rather than just being frustrated. I know Bill has some students who are like frustrated if they're by their third class they haven't done a work that they could frame and hang on their wall.
Right.
So it sounds like you had that genuine patience and dedication that has really paid off with
yeah.
the beauty of your work now.
It's definitely a relationship. And
right.
it's between you and the work,
right.
and there's a love affair going on there.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You make it, you grow the thing, and so you're. Well, you, and so basically, the thing you're making is honoring your beloved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and your beloved being not just the landscape that you're portraying, but the medium you're
mm-hmm.
working with.
The pastels, that's true.
The process of,
you know, you fall in love with. The more aspects of the thing that you fall in love with and that you do this love dance with, the greater an artist you become.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're just sort of in the game to like say you're an artist or to have a show or to have make something that looks like somebody else's painting, it's like most surface sort of like playing around with this area of life, but if you're drawn in and seduced by it,
mm-hmm.
and you begin to fall in love with the visual world, you just go deeper and deeper, and it can go on and on and on. I mean, people like Da Vinci are people who went really far with many of the aspects of the thing.
That's what I like about it: the fact that you can never learn the whole thing. It's a continuous. I mean, I'm sure that's the same in any thing that you do. But I was speaking to my mother, who's also an artist, and she was telling me something. And I said, "Oh, what does that mean?" And it was an art term. And so she told me, and I said, "Don't you just love the fact that till the end of your days, there's still more to learn?"
Mm. Yeah.
And she said, "Yes."
It keeps me in business. But see, that's my, as a teacher, that's my driving
right.
force. Driven? Am I driven? That's the, is that it's, I'm aware, if there's anything that I've wanted to know, it's the depths of this thing and all of its aspects and how vast it is, this realm of art. And so I want to pull people in
right.
and then take them deeper
into that
and
world.
Deeper. And that's my satisfaction, is getting people. I'm a seducer. Yes.
So when you talked about making the portraits of your mm-hmm. friends, and then was the shift to your love of landscape right at that point where you started taking classes with Bill, or was
yes.
that, did you go back and forth at all?
No, I didn't.
That
no,
was it?
I haven't done a portrait in, I don't know, 10 years maybe. Hmm. Well, I tried to do one of Bill.
Oh, that's another thing. That's part of our Bill series.
Yeah.
I might add that portrait painting is even more seductive, almost even
yeah.
more seductive. I won't say it's more seductive, because there's so much in the
yeah.
human face, and then there's this a particular soul that you're capturing. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a really very high art form.
That's true.
And you really do. I mean, it's dangerous with the artist and his model, because you have to fall in love with the person that you're painting to
yeah.
do it.
I do portraits of people that kind of appear out of the canvas
mm-hmm.
and or the illustration board or whatever I'm doing, and then I meet them, and they actually are, it's like those ones from the small work show. Mm-hmm. There's one of a little French boy that I have now hanging in my dining room, and I am like in love with this little French boy. Mm-hmm. And he's just a painting, but he's so real to me, because
right.
there's some, you know,
well, but he came out of your mythic
yeah,
life.
He's part he of totally came out of something deep inside me. And
you gave birth. I mean, this is very far out, this whole thing.
Yeah. So what else? I thought of something. Oh, yeah. So you started working in pastels when mm-hmm. you first were taking class. Have you?
No, I worked with oils, too.
Oh, you worked with, yeah,
in
that's
fact,
what I was going to ask
I did
you.
Do yeah, a couple portraits. Come to think of it, I did one of my sister, I remember, when I was doing oils in Bill's class.
Because I seem to remember seeing oil paintings of yours, too, not
yes,
just pastels.
Yes, yes. But I find I get frustrated with oil because I can't do the detail that I want to do.
Oh,
you
yeah.
see. Having started with colored pencil, you can get a lot of detail.
Mm-hmm.
And all the portraits that I did were in colored pencil because of that detail
mm-hmm.
that I...
Well,
and because you can erase it.
Pastel really seems to suit your nature well.
Yes, yes. I've never tried I don't think I've tried a portrait in pastel, though. I don't know. That would be interesting to
try. Do you ever do still life?
I have done still life.
That's like
not my favorite.
Well, there's some, like the word for still life in French means something like dead things or something like that, you know. I can't remember what the word is exactly, but when I was really surprised when I read the translation, it's like, all right, let's do
Objemal?
Dead
I don't
things.
Know. Let's do dead things.
Do they
it was mort.
That's dead dead objects.
I'm still like
literally.
It must be
yeah.
better. I don't know how that is stuck so long.
Tableau yeah. of beautiful objects or something. But.
Painting stuff.
I have to ask my mom what it is in French.
Okay, I have another question. You hear stories about various artists, Matisse being one of the most famous, who was drawn to the different light in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So he had his favorite spot on the southern coast of France in Nice, where he completely fell in love with the light. And then he would go down to Morocco
mm-hmm.
from time to time, because the light there was completely different
right.
and fed him in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So do you, as a landscape artist, have a relationship with different qualities of light in different places?
Well, there's the quality in Montreal is different in Quebec. Mm. I guess it's probably cooler. I don't know. Mm. The shadows are... because the days in summer would be longer, it's further north, I guess you'd have those long shadows but it is different. Now, the photographs that I've taken recently there were in the mist, you know, they were in on a rainy day. And that was interesting to paint.
Yeah.
But I haven't, again, I don't have enough photographic material from Quebec to really compare the light. And I'm going to go in May again, and I might try and do some plein air painting. Mm-hmm.
But you did mention that you like to go out early in the morning and late in the afternoon when the shadows are long and the light
is
more.
That's true.
There's a certain quality of light.
Absolutely.
Photographers love to go out.
Yeah, well, you asked about different locations, but that's true. And this I got from my husband, who was a photographer for many years. And he said the best lighting is in the morning and the late afternoon. And he was right, you know, because that's when the lighting is so beautiful on the trees, and, you know, you get that light coming from behind sometimes.
Yeah, really. And some sort of golden light often.
Exactly.
In the late afternoon, especially. I just love the golden time
me
of
too.
Day.
it's
well, when you mentioned the mist, it totally made me want to see a Danielle Scheer pastel of a misty landscape. Because, I mean, the way that you work and the quality of those, I can totally see it working for a misty forest or something like that. That would be incredible.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing than you have a different quality. You have one of mine, Bill, with a mist.
With a mist.
I do.
That was one of my better mist ones. That was an Iowa scene up in northeast Iowa. Mm. So.
That's a fantastic picture.
Well, I'll have to see it. Do you ever do cityscapes?
No, but I might. Do some. I have some nice photographs of downtown Fairfield at sunset with the light on the buildings. I love that.
Oh, wow.
If I can just get the right composition, I might do something like that. And Montreal, of course, the St. Lambert's where I grew up, and there's beautiful views of the skyline across the river of Montreal. I might do some of those too.
I love the houses that I used to live in Vermont, and then drive up to Montreal, and as you cross over the border into Canada, suddenly the houses begin to be in primary colors, and you see these little clusters of buildings.
Sounds like Longueuil.
See these little clusters of buildings that are, you know, bright yellow, and bright red, and bright blue and green, and things that would be.
And they have the stone houses. I grew up in a stone house. We lived in a stone house when I grew up. I love those.
Yeah,
I would love to do some of those.
There.
Pardon me? Yeah,
it makes me want to go there and see it.
It's different. And of course, they have the French. You know, there's some English, but mostly it's French, which makes you feel like you're in Europe.
Yeah. Although French Canadian is very different. I have French television at home, and it has broadcasting from France, Belgium, North Africa, and Canada, and I can barely understand the Canadian French. It's much more musical somehow to me, and it's beautiful, but it's harder for me to understand. I think they may have different figures of speech even.
Yes, they do, and there's different, even there's different French, different dialects of French even in Quebec.
Yeah.
Some of it is very guttural, and I even find hard to understand. And then university French, you know, just.
I guess we have that in our country as well. You
probably.
Know, you hear somebody with a thick New York or Southern accent.
Radically
different.
Creole French.
It's hard. I don't know.
It's totally different.
Totally different.
It doesn't even sound like French.
In fact, my cousin did some work in the Magdalen Islands, which are in northern Quebec. And he gave us some examples of the French, and I couldn't understand it. It was completely different, and very guttural, you know.
The land has its influence.
Pardon me?
The land has its influence, and it just
gradually
takes over. It's interesting.
Just to remind our listeners, we are talking, this is Icon Art Radio on KRUU FM 100.1. on your dial, and we've been talking to Danielle Scheer, pastel artist extraordinaire, and she's been telling us about her life history in this half hour, so we'll continue with that.
Now, did you enjoy working with glass, painting glass?
Yes, I did at the time.
Would you ever do that again, do you think?
No, I don't miss it, but at the time I loved it. But I think what I'm doing now, I love that much more. So,
I'm very fond of glass, but I don't know what I'd ever do with it either. I just love the light and the quality of color that you get that way.
Yes. Painting on glass is not easy, as you probably know.
I know.
It just depends on what moves you, though, because we interviewed Laura Mentor one time, and her description of discovering glass painting was similar to your description of discovering working with pastel. It just was obviously her medium, and she kept going with that. I think it's really great that you have stuck with this one medium for a long time, mm-hmm. because it's allowed you to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the possibilities of that medium.
Well, it's the perfect medium for me. I love the richness of the colors, the quality of the colors, mm-hmm. and again, the detail. I love to get in there and get those, you know, that feeling. And also, if you're going into a painting and it's a small one, you have to have that detail mm-hmm. to
and
get in there.
And yet your details are so soft and gentle. You know, it's nothing is harsh in any of your works that I've ever seen.
Right.
And so sometimes when people do detailed work mm-hmm. with a harder medium, like a pencil or something, mm-hmm. pen and ink, you don't get that
softness.
Wholeness that you, like your works are very seamless. Mm-hmm. Even with the detail, they're very like a whole gem that have many, many, many facets to it, and you can easily sort of penetrate into it anywhere, like they're porous or something, mm-hmm. and you can walk into them.
Part of that, I think, is because of the medium. Pastel is more, has that softer quality, mm-hmm. those softer edges, and
and the detail isn't like the kind that's defined by little outlines around every little leaf.
Right.
It's like, because I was up with someone looking at one of the paintings the other on Saturday, and they were in love with this one landscape that had hills and then a bush in the foreground, and they just couldn't stop talking about this bush, what it was doing to them. And I realized that the bush was kind of a smear of pastel.
Yes.
So, you know, the chalk, and yet every hint of form was right on. And when you talk about maybe people don't realize exactly, listen on the radio, when we're talking about detail, we're talking about evoking in the viewer an illusion, mm-hmm. a reality that says, yes, that's it.
That's
the
a
whole
tree.
Thing is there. And that's what she can do with, like, she'll smear a little pastel and put a few little dots and lines, and it's absolutely perfect. The bush is there. And that's the kind of detail I think we're talking mm-hmm. about here, as opposed to the pencil that outlines every leaf on there, which can look very unrealistic and theatrical and not real and not like the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the difference between very intricate prose and poetry. It's like your works are poetic in that sense, that you've made the right choices of which tones to put in mm-hmm. and which details to put in, and to make it something that goes beyond the surface of what that landscape is.
Well, and what is the title of the show?
Landscape poetry.
Landscape poetry
in
miniature.
Oh well,
so
that's perfect.
But I remember speaking with a fellow artist who happens to be my mother, and we were talking about somebody's work and a tree, and it was just like a blob, you know. It's just, but it was the perfect blob. It looked exactly like a tree, like the, and you recognize, oh yeah, a tree that's doing that is just like that.
Yeah.
So that's the trick.
And that's what you're good at.
Mm-hmm. I love doing trees. I love painting trees.
Now, when you're doing, like, you've decided what you're going to do, you're, you know, this group of trees mm-hmm. and this stream, and this is going to be this work. How do you begin on a piece? Do you begin in the middle? Do you begin in the upper left-hand corner? Do you begin with a tone that covers the whole work? Or how do you begin?
You know, each piece is different. Mm. It depends. But now I try to get an outline down first, general kind of, this is going to go here, that's going to go there. And then I'll start putting in, I'll try and block it in a bit to get an overall feel. Because if I don't, I found in the past, if I start working too much in one area and forget about the rest, then the rest might not fit in. So I try to get the whole thing in really, very generally first. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start putting in more detail. And with pastel, you can layer different colors one on top of the other to change things. And then I'll get in the lights and the darks. I'll save the lightest lights and the darkest darks for the last. And there, I know someone who calls them the zingers, you know, that last zing. and to be careful not to put too many of them. Mm-hmm. And but a piece can sit in my studio for, I might finish it in 3 days if it's a small one, but it'll sit there for a while and I'll go back to it and I'll change this and add that and till I get it just right. Or I might put it in the drawer and then come back to it later. So
it's... Now, with pastel, can you like mess up at a certain point so that you can't fix it?
It's like with, sure.
With oil paint, you know, you can kind of just go over a mm-hmm. part that you messed up. But with pastel, what do you do? If I mean, you can you rub it out?
You can rub it out if it's early enough. Mm. But later on, you can't.
Yeah.
You can also layer right over. The pastel's so thick of pigment, you
yes,
can layer right over things too.
But if it's very thick layered in one area and not in the rest, it might look funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting to the end of this show. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Being on the show, this was very wonderful, magical. I think the quality of talking with you was very similar to the sweet feeling and magical feeling of your works themselves. Wow. This has been Danielle Scheer. We've been talking.
And keep your eye out. She shows her work all over Iowa, up at the Amana Colony Gallery. Mm-hmm. And at Artisan Gallery
in Iowa City. Iowa Artisans.
Teeple Hansen Gallery here in Fairfield.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.